What a blessing to see young people serving the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. I have a name for y'all in case you want to use it. Three thorns and a rose. Well, it fits, don't it? There we go. Appreciate those young men and Sini. Boy, what a blessing it is to see these young people grow up. God use them, bless them, give them talent. And we're thankful, and I appreciate them singing for us this morning. Take your Bibles, turn, if you would, to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 25. I want to share with you just a few thoughts this morning. Always, when we come to the house of God, I always want to be an encouragement from the Word of God. Sometimes, maybe we maybe not be such an encouragement. We may give you some truths that may strike close to the heart. But that's the reason we come, in order that God might do something in our heart to get us back to the place that we need to be. I'm grateful for the name of our church. I remember years ago when we started out as starting the church, we were trying to think of a name. We came up with the name The Friendship Baptist Church. We thought that would be a good name to have because we wanted to be friendly in our community. But we began to do some research. We found out that there was a Friendship. That's Metcalf, isn't it now? And Metcalf has Friendship Baptist Church. And then there was another church here in town that's called Friendship Baptist Church. And so we said, well, we don't need that. So we began to go over it, and basically, I don't know who came up with it or where we came up with it, but we decided on Victory. I've always liked Victory. I'm not one that likes to lose. I like it even when there's competition. I always love to win. I don't think it's always that we need to win, and I think God teaches us things by losing. But the good news is, with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're victors in Him, regardless of what transpired. And I knew if we started the church, no matter what happened at the church, we'd still be victors in the Lord Jesus Christ as long as we served Him and were obedient to Him. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of our victory in Jesus. If you have your Bibles, look at verses 8 and 9. That's where my text will be coming from today. And I hope it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you as we begin to read the Word of God. The Bible said in verse number 8, and He will swallow up death in victory. I like that right off the bat. I don't like to think about death. I was talking to a brethren yesterday from up in Albany. He's not a pastor, but just a good friend. And we was just talking about the fact of death and believing that we may not see death. We may see the Lord. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God shall wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off the earth, all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Our Father, Lord, we thank You today. What a blessing it is to be able to be back in the house of God. Lord, what a blessing it is just to be able to open the Word of God. And Lord, to see the promises that You give us in the Word, especially about being a victorious Christian. Lord, I'm grateful today that even as Brother Zolt shared with us this morning in Sunday school, how literally he did not even know Christ, didn't know God, didn't know anything about church. But Lord, You put somebody in his path and in his way to make him begin to think and understand. He said he had got to the feeling where he got to the point that he felt that there was no hope in life. But Lord, now he knows that there's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and in all he does and all that he will do. Lord, we ask now that You would guide and direct, give us wisdom, strength, and help today. May Your name be exalted, lifted up, and glorified. And we'll thank You now for what You do and what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. A man by the name of Colin Chapman, he wrote a book called The Case for Christianity. And in this, he quotes a Hungarian bishop by the name of Fisto Kimmiger. And he gives his account of an execution that took place in 1973 by a firing squad of three men that was in his diocese. I want to share the story with you. It was the day of February the 10th, 1993. It began as a very sad day for all of the people that was in Kabul, and especially those men that were about to be executed. They had commanded, unusually, to send these men to be executed to a stadium to where they could put them out in front of everybody before a firing squad. They invited people to come and watch them be killed and murdered, and they had invited them to that stadium, and as they did, it began to fill up that day. And more than 3,000 people had showed up at the stadium to watch that execution. It seemed to be silent that day. There was not a lot of chatter, not a lot of talking going on. It was very quiet. The atmosphere was very dim. And what was about to take place was very gruesome. And as the silent crowd was there, this fellow Festo Kevinger, he had permission from the guards to go and to speak to the men that were about to be killed. And he took two of his fellow ministers with him. He said as they stood in the stadium, they waited. He said there's a truck came from one direction. It brought in the three men. It dropped them off at a certain place. They got really, I guess, thrown out of the truck. They got down. They were in chains. They had on handcuffs. They all stood up. And he said he and his men were behind them. He said he began to approach them, and he was approaching them from the back. They did not see him coming. And as he and his two men were approaching up there, he was going, in his mind, he was saying, what in the world can I tell these men? Number one, obviously, he did not know their relationship with the Lord. But he said, what can I tell? What about the gospel can I give these men in this late hour that's going to help them? How can I help them? And he said it was a very difficult walk for him as he walked up behind him. But to his surprise, when he spoke, one of them turned around, and as he turned around, he looked at him, and there seemed to be an unmistakable glow about his face. In fact, he had a smile on his face, and he did not appear as a man that was about to be gunned down. He seemed to be enjoying what was going on, even though that would be crazy. He immediately spoke out, and he said this. He said, Bishop, thank you for coming. I wanted to tell you that the day I was arrested in my prison cell, I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart. He came in and forgave me of all my sins. Heaven is now open, and there's nothing between me and my God. Please tell my wife and children that I'm going to be with Jesus and ask them to accept Him into their lives as I did. The other two men turned around and likewise had very similar stories. God had got through to them, even though maybe somebody, the bishop, had not got there in time to tell them, but somebody had. And you know, this priest, as he said, he began to talk with them and to share with them about the goodness of God. He realized that it was not the people that was about to be killed that needed to hear it. It was the guards that was about to shoot them that needed to hear it. So he had them translate into the language of the guards what he was telling them in order that they may hear. There's no record that any of the guards got saved, but there's one thing about it. They got so shook up and so flustered that when they did to go ahead with the execution, they forgot to put the bags over their heads. And as a result of that, as those men were killed, their hands were raised to the air. They were shaking the handcuffs and the chains on their arms. And they was rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, the people in the stands too began to cheer. Not because of the execution, but because of the testimony of these men. The bishop said he went to another church a few Sundays later. And as he stood and presented, he told the story about this one man and what he did, especially the one man, how he had turned around and received them. He said when he did, the congregation broke out in a great song of praise and joy. And in doing so, he said many in that service came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, friend, be honest with you. If guns were faced at you, I wonder how many of us with shackles on our arms could raise our hands to the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul and what you've done for me. There's countless millions of people today that have gone through much more than you and I have ever gone through. I tell you today, persecution around the globe is rampant. But yet today we live in a free country to where we come and worship God without any hindrance or any holding up of anything we do. Whether we know it or not, God's people, like those men who faced the firing squad, they're victorious. Friend, absent from the body, they became present with the Lord. And I tell you today, I don't like to think about death. And I tell you, death's not nothing we like to dwell on. But I tell you one thing, there's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. even when death comes our way. The Bible said in Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Christ. Those three men that day were conquerors through Christ. He said in 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. I'm glad today that God always causes us to triumph. There's victory in Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, He said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love the song we sing, Victory in Jesus. We're singing a truth in the fact that we know the Lord Jesus Christ will give us victory no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what we go through, what we might endure, or where we are, God will give us the victory along the way. Quickly, from these two verses, I want to give you three things. Number one, in verse number 8, we find our victory over death. That's the first thing he states right out of the gate here in verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory. Now, death is a universal enemy. We've been hearing a lot about deaths. We've heard about COVID deaths. We've heard about shootings. We hear about people being murdered every day. And truly, we know when people die, there's a sense of sadness that comes over our hearts and minds, especially when our loved ones die. And sometimes we don't want to let go of them here. But the good news is, if we let go of them here, if they know the Lord, we'll be together one day over there. You see, the Bible said in Hebrews 9:27, and it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Friend, today it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. The Bible said that one day every one of us is going to die. The only way we're going to avoid that is the Lord coming back. And friend, that would be a wonderful thing, but don't count on it. It very well could be that you have to die and go by the way of death. The Bible said that when we die, how we die determines where we live. The Bible said in 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. In other words, you're saved, you go to heaven. You're lost, you go to hell. Nobody likes to hear that. But the Bible said the wages of sin is death. And I'm going to tell you something today. We're going to pay, our man's going to pay for his sin, but I'm glad Jesus paid for mine. And I accepted what he gave to me. In Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. That is a profound statement. It's a sad statement. Because it says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations shall forget God. He preached about a lady that was an atheist that got saved. That is the miracle-working hand of God that brings an atheist to come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. People mock God. They laugh at God. They make fun of God, and they see no need of God. But Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. How is this possible? When Jesus died on the cross, he rose from the dead. And friend, he conquered death for all people who will come to him. The Bible said in John 11:25-26, Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Friend, I'm going to tell you something today. There's no reason to fear death if you're a child of God. If you're not a child of God, you've got all the reason in the world to fear death. And I tell you today, honestly, and seeing what's going on around about us in this world, if I didn't know I was saved, I'd get saved today, because today is the day of salvation and now is the accepted time. But yet we know today Jesus has given us the victory. One day he's coming again. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel. And I tell you what a day it's going to be. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm glad today that my victory is over death. If I die, they may put me in the cemetery, and I guess that's where they will put me if I die. But friend, when you go by there, if you go by there, it'd be all right if you don't, because I'm not going to be there. But I can tell you, you know that I have graduated from this life to the next life, and all is theirs, that old body that one day is going to be resurrected again. But right now, I'm in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid of death. I love my family, and I say this often. Love my family, love my church, and I love living, and I love serving the Lord. But friend, leaving this place is going to be far better than anything we've ever done if we're saved by the grace of God. The gentleman I talked to yesterday, we were just kind of rejoicing about what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one that saved me by His grace. But it goes a step further. Not only do we have victory over death, but the Bible said, and the Lord God shall wipe away tears from all faces. We have victory over our disappointments. In the second part of that verse, not only does He give us victory over death, in other words, here's the thing, you don't have to fear death if you know where you're going. You don't have to fear death if you know where you're going to spend eternity. But here, He said, the Lord God shall wipe away tears from off all their faces. The world is a painful, sorrowful, suffering, disappointing, discouraging, disease, disaster, pain, and war. It's filled with all those things. But you know, according to the Word of God, these things happen and they often break our heart. I sit and talk to some of you, and you're praying for loved ones that are going through physical things. I talk to some of you, and there's people going through financial things. There's people going through family problems and experiencing things, and all those things break our heart. But you know, one day, all that's going to be over. The Bible said the Lord is going to wipe away the tears from our eyes. You know, when our dreams turn to dust, when our plans fall to pieces, when our foundations seem to fall apart beneath us, we're left devastated and broken. But even in the midst of heartbreak, even in the midst of pain, Jesus said, I'm going to wipe away all the tears from your eyes. I tell you today, I think what a glorious time it's going to be. There's not a single person in this building that at some time or the other has not been disappointed. Maybe not discouraged and not suffered some type of pain. But our disappointment leads us to God. I like to say, where could I go but to the Lord? Friend, honestly, there's nowhere else to go except to the Lord. Friend, today I tell you, thank God for doctors and we use them. But friend, today the greatest need in all the world, whether it be for healing or whether it be financial or whether it be for domestic, our need today is only found, the answer's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's answered all our problems. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, he said this about suffering. He said, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, he said, I besought the Lord thrice that He might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. He said, for when I am weak, then am I strong. I tell you today, I'm grateful that God allows us sometimes to get to the point of weakness in order that we might just see how strong we can be through the Lord Jesus Christ. When disappointment comes into your life, don't despair. There's three things that you need to remember, these truths. No matter what takes place in your life, God has a plan in everything that takes place. God has a plan and everything takes place in your life. Listen, don't ever get to the feeling that something happened to you that God made a mistake. Now, I'm telling you, people in this world will make a mistake. I've heard of people giving the wrong surgeries to the wrong people, and that scares me, especially when you're having surgery. But I tell you what, you can rest assured that God will never mix you up with anybody else. He'll never change any plan that he has for you because he has a reason for it all. I love Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I agree, there's things happen in my life, and I said, Lord, I don't understand. Lord, I don't know why. I don't know why this is happening. But friend, I rest assured in the fact that he says, I know, and I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. The second thing is God is using your trial for your good in his glory. We spoke Wednesday night on the glory of Christ. And I tell you, man, can you think about the glory of Christ? And especially as he went up to the mountain, we talked about their faces was glowing and all the things that was transpiring. But friend, when God allows something in our life, it's for our good. God's a teacher and an instructor. And sometimes he instructs us by example. He instructs us by things in our life. And they're not always pleasant. I think of the things that we go through in life, and again, I realize just how blessed I am. I realize how blessed all of us are just to be able to be here this morning. There's people that literally can't be here, and I wish that they were able to be here, but they're not. But listen, God is doing that to make us a better person, and truly with the trials and things that I've gone through in my life, I believe God has used those things to help me know how to minister to other people. Their times of need. When I started pastoring, I had lost a sister, and I went through a great deal with that, but God taught me a lot. I began pastoring. I lost my mom. I lost my dad within 5 weeks. I lost my son within 3 months. And I'm going to tell you, those were some of the darkest and most difficult days that I've ever been through in all my life. You said, well, preacher, wouldn't you, surely you would have not wanted that to happen. I want God's will to happen. That's all I can say. It's not because I did not love him. It's not because I do not miss him. It's not because I don't miss mom and dad. I tell you, but it's because God saw fit that there was something that I needed in my life to teach me and to help me as well as him get the glory. And through it all, I did everything in my power to try to let people see Christ in my life. I never got angry at God. I never got bitter at God. I never questioned God, and I never slowed down from preaching in this pulpit. I continued to do what God called me to do because it was for my good, and it was for his glory. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." God uses it for our good. And then thirdly, you have a place of refuge when the strong seas assault your life. Deuteronomy 33:27a, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Last week I preached on Job. And Job said in Job 1, verse 20 and 21, or tells about him, we know that basically Job lost it all. But where did he run to? He didn't run to his friends. His friends ran to him. But he ran to the Lord. Listen what it says. Verse 20, "Then Job arose, and he rent his mantle, and he shaved his head, and he fell down upon the ground, and he worshipped. And he said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. He said, Blessed be the name of the Lord." You don't have to walk through life down a difficult path. Jesus promised that he'd walk with you and he'd never leave you nor forsake you. When life of continual sorrow and disappointments end, we'll all stand before God. The Bible said in Revelation 21 verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I tell you today, I'm grateful that I have victory over death. I'm grateful that I've got victory over disappointment. Then thirdly this morning, I'm grateful I have victory over distance. You say, what are you talking about? Jesus said in verse number 9, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Now, you and I are not living with the Lord today, physically. We're living with him spiritually, and as long as we're in the Word of God, and as we study the Word of God, and as we pray to God, and do what we know is right, God will bless us and help us and meet our need. But while we're here, the Lord is in heaven, and by the way, we have access to him. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He said we could talk to him, we could pray to him, he'd meet our need. But there's coming a day when all that's going to end. It's going to all be over. He's going to take us home to be with him. And I tell you, we're waiting on his deliverance. You know, I was thinking the other day how amazing it is. I heard a lady that was talking the other day. She was talking about back years ago when a young man went in service. You wouldn't hear from them for months because they had to write and they had to put it in the mail and they had to send it. Talking on the telephone long distance was almost unheard of, except in emergencies, and it was very expensive if you were able to. But Brother Kovac talked to his family in hunger this morning, right? And I tell you what, we've got communications down here. It's gotten so much better, and it's wonderful that we can do that, and people can relate to their loved ones. Somebody can look and do FaceTime. They can do all kind of things to see one another and just give a wonderful thing. And friend, you say, well, that'd be wonderful if we had that with Jesus. Well, we do. It's right here in the pages of the Word of God, in the house of God, here in the Word of God. We've got exactly the same thing. And friend, oh, today that we might see his face, see what he's done and what he's doing in our life. But there's coming a day. I tell you, when it's like in your life with your family, Brother Zolt, he's looking forward to seeing his family personally, I'm sure. But I tell you, I'm looking forward to seeing my family, but I'm looking forward to seeing my Jesus for all that he's done for me. I want you to look forward with me as we wait for this life to end and Christ to come back and return to take us home to be with him. Notice the reason that Israel found reasons to rejoice and hope in God for their future. They were suffering now, but they could embrace by faith that one day they'd be with Jesus. Friend, that's our hope. That's our glory. That's all we have to hang our hat on, is the hope and the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he said he would do what he said he would do. What was it they had to rejoice in? They could rejoice in God's person. The people call God our God. And the Lord God identifies God as deity who receives love and worship. The word there that is used there is Elohim. It identifies God as a sovereign power of all power that is given to him. I got a text this morning. I'm not going to pull it out and try to find it, but I'll see if I can get it right. But it said, some people don't worship their God because their God is not worthy of worship. Friend, if you have any other God other than the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not worthy of your worship. But friend, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, he has the need of your worship. The Lord God identifies him as being self-existent, eternal, covenant-keeping. Identifying him as the only one. By the way, he is the only one. There's no other way. Somebody said, well, there's Buddha and there's Muhammad and there's all kind of names. They name all these gods. You can call them gods if you will, but Jesus said there's only one God, a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. They could rejoice in God's faithfulness. You know, you might have waited in life for a long period of time only to be disappointed. But as a child of God, you'll never be disappointed waiting on God. Friend, you wait on Him. Be patient. Many have suffered greatly at the hands of their enemies. Yet Israel never lost hope. And do you know what? Israel still has not lost hope. And Israel has no need to lose hope, because God's on their side. And yet, they knew the day would come when the Lord would appear. And He did in their day. And again, we can rejoice in the faithfulness of God. God will never fail His people. He will keep His promises to us. He'll take care of us. He'll walk with us. He'll talk with us. And He'll lead us in the direction that we need to go. Friend, rejoice. In all these years, and some of you is up there where I'm at, we've been around a couple of days. But I'm going to tell you, I look back at the faithfulness of God in my life, and I rejoice in what He's done. They could rejoice in God's deliverance. Notice what He said. He said, "And it shall be said in that day, Lo is our God. We have waited for Him, but He will save us." Somebody said, "Man, what about all this stuff going on? What do you think?" I think that God will save us. I think personally that we've already been saved, those who have trusted Him. But friend, He's going to save us from the mess that we're in, the things we're going through. There's pain and suffering right now, but there's a day of deliverance coming. We don't like the word cancer. We don't like the things that go along with it. We don't like death and cancer. But you know what? For the child of God, I just wonder, I think about these men that were executed, I shared with you a while ago. But I think about a person whose body's racked with pain, all the suffering they go through, and then they die. I can only imagine the reaction when they enter into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, they may have never sung in their life, but they'd probably break out into singing of, "It's been worth it all." See Jesus and see what He's done. We'll be free from all the horrors of the world. One day there's not going to be any more sin. One day there's not going to be any more heartache. One day there's not going to be any more disappointment. And you and I that are saved are going to live in that environment forever and ever with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, lastly, they could rejoice in their salvation. He said, He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him, and we will be glad and rejoice in our salvation. I'm going to be honest with you. There's days, if you went by feelings, I don't feel saved. And to be honest with you, there's some of you, you say, "Preacher, you're right. I don't. There's days I just don't feel saved." But I tell you, I know I'm saved because Jesus promised me I was saved when I trusted Him. And I tell you, we walk around with a lip dragging on the ground and a sad countenance about our face and sadness in our heart. Listen, cheer up. Jesus is coming. And I believe what we see happening just proves that His time is near. And there's going to be victory like we've never seen before. We see Christ. There was a great general by the name of Dwight D. Eisenhower. And I thought this was interesting. He said, "There's no victories at discount prices." That'd be a good quote to remember. There's no victories at discount prices. Victory always comes at a high price. The victory we have in Jesus comes because God turned His back on His Son, Jesus. He was nailed to a cross. He bled and died for us to have salvation. And I tell you today how we ought to rejoice and understand the price Jesus paid. You know, I get a little aggravated sometimes when I listen to people that make light of Christianity. There's people that try to justify their sins. And I know God is a forgiving God, and I know God forgives all sins. And I believe today anybody that has sinned their life, you can rush back to God, but I read something the other day. Somebody posted it and give, and I know where they're looking at, but basically they said, you know, to me what I took out of it is they were saying, well, it doesn't matter if you sin, because when you go back to God, God don't care about your sin. He cares about forgiving you. And I agreed with that to a certain degree, but I'm afraid that if we try to justify our sin, that's where we talk about eternal security, friend. If you're really saved, you won't think that way. He said this morning when he got saved, he said he got a haircut. He said he quit drinking. He quit doing a lot of things he used to do. You know why? Because when you get saved, there's a change that comes about in your heart and your life. Your desire ought to be to live for Jesus. These young people sang this morning about serving the Lord. And I'm grateful today for that. But there has to be a price to be paid. And I'm afraid that a lot of people that live by the fact that, well, we can sin and we can go to God. True, you can go to God. But friend, if that's your attitude, then I'm afraid maybe you're really not coming to God and understand the importance. Well, you see, victory is not cheap. But it is ours without a cost. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe, sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. I wonder today, are you in one of those areas where you need victory? Victory is yours. Believe in Jesus. Walk with Jesus. And rejoice in Jesus. Because he is our all in all. It's no sacrifice for me to come to the house of God to worship God. It's no sacrifice for me to read my Bible and to pray. I tell you, those are things that are expected and should be in each and every one of our lives because he saved us and gave us eternal life. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the privilege and the opportunity for the precious Word of God. Lord, you've blessed us this morning with more Bible about the victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, today I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. The main thing is that we may all here today know that we're saved and on our way to heaven. I pray now, Lord, that you would guide and direct, give us wisdom, strength, and help. Pray today that your name be exalted, lifted up, and glorified. I pray, Lord, if there's one here today that's lost, they'd be saved. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.